Now, the next thing, should it be doing commercial espionage? That is, should it be doing counter-espionage? Should it come up with, there are B&D agents that have infiltrated a project that are taking, sapping your technology, either by computer hackers or by human on-the-ground people, out of a certain joint venture or a project that you have that is on the leading edge of technology, and the B&D is taking this and turning it over to German core companies even as we speak. Now, we know this to be true.
Okay.
Now, what does the CIA do with that knowledge? The CIA is very reluctant to get into this, saying 2 points. First of all, that this should be taken over by the individual corporations. They should have their own security staff. That can be spooks out of the CIA. They can be intelligence experts from elsewhere. But they should do it themselves. Now, already this limits it to a group of a handful of 100 large companies. Other people can't afford to staff up with a duplicate, a small child duplicate of the CIA. This is expensive. So, obviously, they know that's not the answer, or they would not have suggested that.
Mm-hmm.
Second, then the CIA says, we have a different conflict of interest. If we find that the Germans, the French, others are spying on certain companies, then how can we show favoritism towards IBM or towards General Motors or towards Chrysler to the exclusion of others, other companies who also are suffering from this? So they may be in the same market, they may be competitors, but they will suffer also, but it is not their patent that is being destroyed. How do we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a very simple answer to that one. Don't inform companies selectively, inform the public entirely. Now, drain the swamp. Do not favor one toad over the other toad in the swamp. Drain the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
The suggestions that the CIA is making on why they should not engage in commercial espionage and counter-espionage are obviously not sincere. They could do this. They could do it cheaply. They could do it effectively, and they could do it openly. They could publicize their findings week after week, month after month, and they would make the B&D and the DGM Bureau run for cover, and they would chase them out of the marketplace. It would simply make American firms too hard, too tough a target. It would be a defensive and honest reaction, would not involve American firms in doing their own dirty work, and would not involve covert actions.
And
so it would also help keep the CIA cleansed, because it would have to file periodic reports and show some kind of openness in its discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfectly capable of doing this, and they throw up the most fallacious reasoning for why they feel they cannot do so. So one suspects their intentions.
Yeah, it really is a situation that here, as we emerge into the post-Cold War period, and in particular, it's of interest to people here in the Silicon Valley, which is where this program is being broadcast from. I would note all you electronics honchos out there that the discussion here involves you very directly, and it involves your future. And if you want to continue to make the payments on your Mercedes and BMWs, then you might want to pay attention to this particular, with the whole discussion, but this one in particular. The functioning of the BND and the way it is acting as a spear carrier and as a policeman, and not to mention a spy, a ferret, for the German corporations is, again, a direct projection forward of what Hitler meant by National Socialism, the fusion of political, military, intelligence, and civil and economic functions into a single entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we should take note of that, because it bodes very significantly for us here in the United States.
There is a good reason. You mentioned the people in the Silicon Valley that perhaps they should consider their future and the payments on their BMW, Mercedes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for that reason, but they are in the same position as many Germans who are worried about these developments, and yet they feel that if they start taking the time, what can I do is always the question. Ja, was kann ich tun? And there is something they can do, but it's very difficult to explain this to the individual. Get interested in talking about these things openly and demand more television and radio and other media that also ask open questions.
Mm-hmm.
And favor those things, those people who ask questions openly, who disclose things openly. Otherwise, you will find yourself in the same position as the Germans, who are afraid to frightened to speak up and are only thinking of themselves. And as long as you think only of yourself and your own material well-being personally right now, right here, and you cannot see beyond it, then you are a victim. You are a logical mark. I quote now from the Italian paper Corriere della Sera of Sabato, 27 febbraio, Saturday, the 27th of February of this year. I tedeschi non rinunceranno alle ferie alla Mercedes. I sacrifici non sono così grandi. Ma la psicologia è la pesare di più. I tedeschi sono i primi ad autocommiserarsi, rivedono fantasmi e catastrofi. The Germans are not going to give up their vacations and their Mercedes. These are not such great sacrifices, but their psychology makes them seem of more gravity. The Germans are the first to feel sorry for themselves and to envisage Holocaust and catastrophe. This is the type of fear that, excuse my quick translation from the Italian, it's not my first language. These are the types of fear, that is from a Mr. Massimo Nava in the Corriere della Sera, as I said, of this 27 February this year. The point here is that the thing that we'd said earlier that is lacking in the German language is what they now call civil courage, that they borrowed a French term, which otherwise doesn't mean anything in German. It's a term they use for something that the French used to do. So that's how far it's gotten. We have to have more guts and more determination in combating fascism, or otherwise we will have no freedoms left. We will have a two-tier or two-speed or three-speed society everywhere we see in the post-industrial world, and it will consist of secrecy and dissimulation and of fakery and tricks and dirty covert operations and lack of control over one's government. All these things are specters which are coming now and are very well adapted to the coming decade.
And I would note and reiterate and underscore your observations about the importance of having open media where we can talk about these things and where we can shed light on the things that are not receiving the discussion due them, and that is exactly in the spirit of that that we are conducting this interview, which is just about over. One last note here, Billy. The German, one of the reasons we don't hear much about this, one of the reasons why our voices are relatively isolated in this country, at least at this point, concerns German purchasing and control of major American publishers. As a closing note, could you touch on that briefly?
I wish I could. I think that I am going to suggest to you that you have touched upon an enormous rotten apple off the tree of fascism, and I think that you, once you find that apple, you're going to slice it open and see many, many worms in it. There has been, over the past 3-4 years, a rush for German ownership of American media and or participation in it. You will see now even CNN News Network uses more things from Deutsche Welle, which is the German government-paid, government-sponsored propaganda branch, and we've told you about them, their budget, the diet of lies that they put out, and CNN is now getting most of its German coverage from them. So, naturally, the American people are being supplied over CNN the picture of Germany that the German government official story would have it and would like for you to see. In addition, Wall Street Journal has an enormous joint venture with Die Zeit, conservative paper in Germany, and with Die Welt. These are papers that will say they will print the same editorials that appear in the Wall Street Journal, and they share their statistical database. So that if the Germans supply them with false statistics regarding the German economy, regarding German companies, German government, everything else, then it'll appear dutifully, verbatim, spewed back and regurgitated on the pages of the Wall Street Journal, so that there is no check and balance here in the content of these powerful international media representatives. Then in straight publishing of books, then also the Bertelsmann Verlag and the Springer Verlag, two of the largest German publishing firms, have been buying up failing publishing houses in New York and pumping money back into them for various purposes, and already it is showing up in a much less critical approach and attitude towards Germany. Just as I told you that many, many books are being published now by political scientists, by historians, about how nice and harmless Germany is.
Mm-hmm.
And, they don't even have a high birth rate. They're soon going to be a nation of old people, and they will be sitting there worried about their false teeth and their depends, and they're not going to be a challenge to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're getting very poor because they had to give all their money to their poor brethren in the East. And therefore, they are not going to be a threat to anybody. So therefore, they're very harmless, and don't worry about them. They may be bureaucratic, but they mean nobody any harm. And all these things you hear about what they are doing in Eastern Europe and all the things you hear about their taking freedom away from the citizen is just a bunch of baloney. Don't listen to it. Don't think about it. You never see this in the Wall Street Journal. You will never see it on CNN. You will never read about it in any of the Bertelsmann or the Springer Verlag books or magazines. So I think that what you would have to do is go to a Better Business Bureau. Any of your students and your listeners can do this for themselves. They can go to a Better Business Bureau or a Chamber of Commerce, and they can find out in the state of New York primarily, or in New Jersey, where many publishing firms are, or in Delaware, who owns the shares of stock of these companies and what kind of movement there has been in them in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that is worth a book in itself, and I think that if you do that, you will make yourself you will be doing a great public service, but you will make yourself very unpopular with others.
But there is a term for what that is doing, a German term which you mentioned to me. It begins with a V, rendering harmless.
Oh, Verharmlosung. Yes, that's a good one. I'll spell it Verharmlosung.
Mm-hmm.
Verharmlosung. That is to make it all cute and furry and harmless on the surface, so that it renders something with the appearance of being non-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an entire procedure, it's a process that goes on under fascism. Since you know you're not doing nice things to people, but you want to do some very nasty things to people, so you make them look harmless.
Mm-hmm.
And you make yourself look harmless. Hence, we have many American academic people who should know better and probably do know better. They get wined and dined. They listen to propaganda. They pick it up. They regurgitate it for the American people. They look brilliant in doing so because the American people are not interested enough in searching it out for themselves and won't until it's too late.
Yeah, unfortunately, the average American can't tell a dirt road from a chicken with lips at this point.
I would say the following.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, never think of underestimating the intelligence of American people. I think they're extremely intelligent people. I think they are imbued with an enormous amount of common sense and a sense of fairness that ultimately most of them will express politically at one time or another. They simply, some of them got so uncomfortable and so poor that they became ineffective as power, as a force in social betterment internationally.
Mm-hmm.
If you are kicked away from the food table, then you cower in the corner and your mind is on something to eat, you know?
That certainly happens. Just one second, Willy.
As Bertolt Brecht had said, erst das Brot und dann Moral. First we have to eat and then we think of morals.
Okay, just one second, Willy. Willy, we're out of time. Just one last item that we had forgotten to get to. We have heard, and if you could give this to us as quickly as possible, we have heard that Germany is running out of money, and that this is one of the problems that we're seeing, one of the reasons we're seeing the skinhead activity in eastern Germany. They're running out of money, and you and Stauffer Consultants have developed information that that is not, in fact, the case. Can you sum that up for us?
No, it is not, because even though orders are down domestically and internationally, Germany is going through the same sort of recession that everyone else is. But they have ways of compensating for this. Their internal structure is still very strong,
mm-hmm.
and their educational infrastructure and the planning for the future is such that Germany has plenty of money, particularly above what Professor Bork has called the Expertenschwelle, this threshold of technical prowess on the individual part. Above that, their disposable income is higher than the American average, and they have more money to throw around. They are living the good life. They're very unhappy, but I've never seen a country so rich and yet so unhappy, and many other Europeans are seeing the same thing. They also see that they are throwing their weight around in such a way that one would think that they would never go broke, or they would never run out of the appetite for expansion in international matters. They are seeing that for the future it is easier for them to pretend to be poor, which they are good at doing this. That is part of the Verharmlosung.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is easier for them to curtail the civil rights and the equality concept and consign it to the dustbin.
All righty. Well, I tell you, we are now a few minutes over. Vili, I want to thank you for not only the monographs, and again, in weeks to come in installments, I'm going to be reading key extracts from those into the record with the appropriate changes to preserve your security.
I would thank you and your listeners for putting up with my long-windedness for so long.
Well, they put up with my long-windedness for 14 years, some of them, so I think there's certainly steeled against such things at this point. But now, with regard to those who would like to make contact with you, obviously your situation, advising foreign governments and being in the position you're in, is a delicate one, to say the least. If you like, and I'm going to be very pressed for time, so I will be a very ruthless screener, but if you like, I can screen people that interest that would like to make contact with you and perhaps get a hold of some of these monographs, because again, your security and anonymity will be preserved thereby. Would you like me to give an address where people can contact me, say if they'd like to contact you?
I would appreciate you doing precisely that.
Okay, I will do that on the air so that this will be on tape.
Good.
And can be broadcast on other stations that will be airing this. You can contact me, care of KFJC-FM. That's Kangaroo Fred John Charles FM. And the address is 12345, an easy one to remember, 12345 El Monte Road, capital E-L, capital M-O-N-T-E Road. That's in Los Altos Hills, L-O-S-A-L-T-O-S Hills. That is, of course, in California. The zip code is 94022. My name is David Emory, spelled E-M-O-R-Y. And once again, that's care of KFJC-FM, 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California, 94022. And I will be screening ruthlessly because I don't have a lot of time as is, and only those interests that I think are genuinely anti-fascist, and I have a pretty good nose for, I can be fooled, but not easily. So contact me, and if you appear to be suitable, I mean, if you qualify, I guess we could say, then I will get some of this information to you or somehow put you in touch with Stauffer Consultants. All righty, well, Billy, that wraps things up for us for this evening.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for, again, and your fellow consultants once again for your tremendous research and for bearing with me this evening. And I'm sure I speak for the listeners when I say thank you both for your monographs, which I'll be reading into the record, and for your presence here this evening. And the best of luck to you and your associates in your continued efforts.
And you as well. And thank you very much.
All righty.